do for today, after summarizing the thing that we started yesterday, is to go through the Tosus Rid, and I photocopied it for you so that you could follow the text inside. The Gemara has a statement of Ravina about Ratza. So the man is smashing his flax, and the psolus is flying, and it's damaging people, and they're coming to Ravina to complain. You know, let's set up some sort of a harchaka here. And Ravina said that even though Rabbi Yossi is mode to give you delay, this is not called give you delay. They have no claim whatsoever. And the Gemara raises two objections against Ravina. Because Ravina, when he says it's not give you delay, is implying that it's a process. Give you delay means I send arrows out, but here there's a process. And what factor has to cash in and participate in order to set up this as? It's his car, but what else? No, again, it's his car hitting against the flax, but what's carrying the rocks?
The roof.
So in that sense, you're not talking about classical giri delay. Giri delay means he's shooting arrows. Here, it's not the force of his banging against the flax that's causing the damage, but really the wind that's carrying it. So the car is
still his car to an extent.
Right. So that the whole sugya really revolves around that issue. Is this called his koach or is it called the koach of the ruach? And then kavanah is going to come in too.
If you're
shooting
an arrow right at somebody, kavanah is clearly shadir. If you're going the opposite way, you might think that.
Right.
Hey, I'm trying to go away from that back there, so I'm pushing over here, and then the wind comes and.
That's excellent, and we're going to see like two schools of thought on this. You know, one school of Rishonim are going to maintain that. There's no way that you can integrate the Ruach into his action. It's kind of like Libo Mitzarecha and Velipsa Ruach Mitzarecher. They're going in different directions. You know, his action of banging against the flax would only lead to the rocks of falling down. It's not carrying the rocks. You know, so really, it's the Ruach. And then there's another school of thought, which you want to really check out today, that says that somehow we can integrate the Ruach together with his banging and make it into one flow of carrying the rocks over there to do the damage. But let's just go, just to review the Gemara. So the Gemara has two objections against Ravina. Does anybody remember the two objections? The first one comes from Masechta Shabbos. Do you remember that Malacha? What's that Malacha called?
Zorah,
correct. And in Zorah, who helps him out to accomplish this Zriah? The Ruach. And yet the Ruach is integrated into his action. So we don't see the Ruach as acting on its own, but rather we see the Ruach acting together with his Koach when he throws the kernels up in the air. Why not say the same thing in the case of flax? The second objection is from Gates. In Gates, the man is banging away with his hammer on the anvil, and the sparks are flying, and the wind is carrying the sparks. And there the Gemara says that he's Chayav.
That case is very, Gates and the flax, they're like basically the same case, huh?
No.
They're very similar. They're more similar than the Shabbos case.
Right. And why is that so?
Because they're both hitting something with their koach and the wind is taking it somewhere else. Whereas the Shabbos, they're.
Wouldn't you say that this is just my intuition, that in the case of Shabbos, the Ruach is doing even more? You know, let's say you laid out the percentage points as far as his koach and the participatory wind. You know, in the case of Raksa, I would give him 40%. You want to give him 60%. The wind is doing, 40% less. In the case of Getz, the wind is also doing very little. But in the case of Shabbos, wouldn't you agree with me that the wind is doing, the main primary achievement here? Because the goal of separating is done by the wind. So in a sense, it's a kalachomer. If in the case of Zorah Veruach Masayato, we hold you responsible as if you did the Zriah Mikochacha, even though the wind is doing 99% of what's going on here, I would say Kolshken, in the case of Raksa, Ravina, you should hold him responsible when the wind is playing a secondary role. Maybe it's carrying. And by the way, where do we have a precedent in Hilchos Nezikin that if the wind carries something, you're chayav for that?
That's like
Eish. That's Eish. Eish is actually one of the mazikim. And Eish means I lit a fire, but what carries the fire from place X to place Y to do the damage? It's the Koach HaKamurubo, it's the Ruach. So we do have a clear-cut precedent that you can be aided by the Ruach, and the Ruach is somehow integrated into your action to make it considered yours. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan, as we'll soon see, says, Isho Mishum Chitzov. What does that mean? It's as if you said the Chetz, right?
Isn't Ish Machlokas?
Ish? Well, everybody agrees you Chayv Mishum Ish.
I'm saying in like Baba Kama, though, the part of the quote is not sure if it's Ish or something else. Right,
well, then maybe
or
I think know what you're referring to. I don't want to get off on a tangent. Is that in each case of the Mishnah, you have to know what the case is. Nobody denies that there's a parish in the Torah that generates a chiv for age. That's called Hamavras of the era. The question is how to plug it into the Mishnah. But that's a secondary issue. Fine. Now we have two kashas in the Gemara. And the Gemara's answer of Nichole and Lo Nichole, meaning when do we integrate, says Ravina, the Ruach into his Maisa to make it into Kocho? That's in Zora and in Getz. In both cases, what's common to both cases? What's that Nichole business all about?
That he doesn't want this stuff right here. Like when he bangs the Getz, then he doesn't want the sparks here.
So it's more than just his awareness of the fact that the Ruach is going to help him. He also has benefit from that. It's his interest. It's all well calculated. You know, he set this up in such a way that at the end of the day, the Ruach is going to help him. Not so in the case of Raksa. Does he have any benefit or vested interest in getting the Raksa into somebody's eyes? No, that's not on his agenda. That's Ravim. But Margar of Ashi, who asked at least the first question, and maybe even the second question, it's not clear in the Gemara, the second question of Getz doesn't have a name to it, it's anonymous, but maybe it's Mar Bar Avashi, you know, piling up the questions. In that case, Mar Bar Avashi is maintaining that even without Nichole, the very fact that you know that the wind is going to complete your action, that halachically integrates the Ruach into your action, it's considered Koch. And therefore you should be Chayiv. Now, what we're up to, you know, for today is to raise two questions. Number one, is there any element here that's relevant in terms of the Nizak? You know, we've been always talking about the Mazik. Is it his Koach? Is it the Ruach's Koach? Can we integrate the two and form one flow? What about the Nizak? Where is he over here? Now, admittedly, if you put up an Evan, a stone on the top of your roof, and it hits me over the head as I walk by, and there was just a Rabin, did I have any clue about the Evan coming down? Could I have protected myself? I didn't expect it. So that's called ala mazik laharchikas atzmo. But there may be cases where people are going down Rishus HaRabim, they see what's going on, and they should be protecting themselves. Or, for example, what happens if you put up an Evan right on your roof, right next to my roof, and I call you up and I say, Danny, you know what? I've got Caleb, I've got utensils up my roof. Get your Evan off there. Do you have the right in such a case to turn back to me and say, Rabbi Berzon, you know, you're a nice guy, but you better protect your kid? Because al nizak laharchik is atzmo. And who remembers which Tana formulated that sentence, that principle of al nizak laharchik is atzmo? Rabbi Yossi, exactly. Because Rabbi Yossi never bought in to the whole idea of harchak except for giri dilet. But barring that, in 99 out of 100 cases, the chiv harchak is shifted over to the nizak. But that only makes sense if you have to fulfill the proviso that Nizak could be aware of the impending danger. If he's not aware of it, he has no way of protecting himself. So that's going to be one issue, and the Tosfos Rid is going to address that issue. So, you know, again, even if we come to the conclusion that Ruach sets up Kocho, that still doesn't address a different question. Where's the Nizak? Where is he holding in this whole picture? And question number two is when Mar Bar Avashi argues and objects to Ravina's statement, what was Mar Bar Avashi's agenda? What was his final conclusion? Yeah, he's introducing the Ruach, he's got Zorev Ruach Mesayato, he's got Getz, that the Ruach somehow relates to his Koch, expands his Koch, expands his Maisa. Does that mean he pays damages? Or does that mean he's Chayv an Archacha? What was Mar Bar Avashi saying to Rabbi Yossi? Saying to Ravina. Clearly Ravina would hold that he's potter from the Zikin. How do I know that Ravina would hold he's potter from the Zikin? Because that can you delay, therefore there's no chiyuv what? Harchaka, there's no chiyuv harchaka, you must be assuming there's no chiyuv mazah. And Tosfos works very hard here in Bava Basra Chafav to explain why there's no chiyuv mazah here under the law of Eish, and that's where he comes up with Liba Velipsa Ruach, where Tosfos' Shita is that if your libui is not sufficient independently to create a shalheves, a real dangerous fire, then you're potter. So whenever I need the ruach to create the mazik, you're potter. Where does Marva Rav Ashi fit into this? Did Marva Rav Ashi believe that in the case of Raksa, he should be paying damages? Or did Marva Rav Ashi believe that in the case of Raksa, based on Ruach Masayato, he should be marking himself, but he doesn't have to pay damages?
I would say that he's saying he's got to pay damages. But just like Gates, if I'm just like hitting whatever and the sparks are going out, right, I'd be fully chayav because of the wind. So why would I mean, his whole question with Gates is what's different with the rocks and the Gates, and right. The Gates he's saying you get chayav from the Ziggins.
So you're making an excellent point. I just want to add something into the equation here. Which question did Mar Bar Avashi ask? You're harping on Gates. What?
Well, we said that he might have asked this.
Right, we're not sure about that, but which question did he definitely ask up front?
Zohar from Shabbos.
Now, if we open up Rav Ashi, who's my Rav Ashi's father, and his statement in Masechta Bava Kama Daf Samach, what was Rav Ashi's perspective?
Oh, he said that you can't equate Shabbos to Nizikin.
Excellent. You can't equate Shabbos to Nizikin. So once you break up that equation, if you assume that my Rav Ashi accepts his father's opinion, then what was he trying to prove from Zorev Ruach Masayata?
Just talk.
And that's going to be the sheet of Tosus here, which we're going to, the Yad Ramah is going to disagree. And if you take a look on Chavav and Aleph, you'll find this in Dibra Maskil, Maishna Mizorev Ruach Masayato. He says, Ravina lo chashele pircha, de sovraki heitin delor gamina mi shabbos liyin tashlumin, the Mefarish Rav Ashi Bakones, the Gabi Shabbos Melechus Machsheves Hosra Torah, he says, Hokinami Logamina Mehosim Sheikhai Bahlahak. Umar Rav Ashi Sovra Nehid, the Chiyuv Tashlumin Logamiri. We cannot derive the Chiyuv Tashlumin in Ezekiel from Melechus Zorah because Shabbos is different from Melechus Machsheves Hosra Torah. But nevertheless, Le'inyan Archaka, the Lechoshe Giri Delay, Gamrinan Shapir. So it comes out according to Tosfos that Marva Rav Ashi is using Zorah Baruch Masayato in Shabbos as a proof text for the law of Harchak. That's the way Tosfos goes. Let's now start the Tosfos Rid and see what we can get out of the Tosfos Rid. First, he tells you that he's written on this topic earlier, in a different rite, in a different work, and he changes his mind completely. He says, Masha Kasavti, does everybody have the place first?
Yeah, where are
we? We're on the left column, where it says, Dafka Vavam and Aleph. It says, Piska in Bar Kodam, and then it says, Aval in big letters. You have that?
Yeah.
Aval Hocha Zeka Kamamti Lo, which means that according to Abzera, we view the Ruach as an independent agent. Masha Kasavti, says the Tosfos Rid, but Madura Tinyana, the Hainu Eish, meaning when the Gemara objects to Ravina, they mean to define this as Eish, and therefore they're asking, Amai Potale Ravina, Vamai Atkfe, Mar Bravashi Mizora Veruach Masayato, that if those who disagree with Ravina would define the case of Raksa as Eish, why do they bother stretching their arm out to Melech Zorah and Shabbos? V'lo atkfei mi'esh. They should have attacked him from Eish. And based on that question, here Basi Sham Bidvarim, I gave you a long treatise, Lahotzio mitoras Eish, to tell you why Raksa is not Torah's Eish. Vakol heaven. That's very strong language. Very appropriate for Sukkot, not so much for Shavuos, but Akol heaven, right? And basically what he's now throwing out is what Tosfos spent an entire presentation here to prove, that we could never say that this is Eish, this case of Raksa, because it's no better than Liba Velipsa Ruach, where Ein Belibuyo Kedei L'Lavos. that since its liwi does not suffice in the event to create a dangerous fire, you potter. So to Raksa, certainly his action without the ruach doesn't create anything dangerous. It's the ruach that activates this solace, this raksa, to make it into a mazik. And on that, the Tosfot says, meaning it's not eish at all. I'm sorry. And that which I wrote, that lo tzio mitoras eish, meaning that raksa is not eish, that's not true. Raksa is eish. Devadai ki eish gomor. There's no question that raksa is eish. And I'm not sure what he means by that. Does he mean that the case of Liba the lips of Ruach is chayav, and therefore, if you start the process of creating an Eish, that's enough to be machayav you? Or does he mean something totally different, that here, in the case of Raksa, you did all that you had to do to make it into Eish? But the bottom line is that the Tosfos read now in his new presentation is assuming that Raksa is Eish. So what question should now arise in our minds?
And of course he's
going to say, what?
Anything.
Okay, so then, so what's the issue here? What's the issue now between Ravina and Mavravash? What are they debating? I mean, if the Tosfos Rid says it's Milsa the Pshita, there's no question about it, that Raksa equals Eish, despite the fact that the Ruach helps him out, so then, what are they battling about? What's this whole sugya all about? Harkok. And Ravina is going to say, yeah, it's Eish, but there's Eish without Harkok. And this is what we're going to have to break our heads to figure out where the Tosfot is going with this. That you can have something called Eish with a Chiv Tashlumin, but without a Chiv Harkok.
Well, I mean, the fact is, not any type of Zik is Harkok.
And in our case, Eish, but yeah.
Right.
I mean, do we have any precedent where you're chayav for the zikin, but you're not chayav in our kolka?
No.
Oh, so we do. And I don't know if the Tosfot has this in the back of his mind. Do you remember the case of an oven? Let's go back to the oven case. Yeah, yeah, back on Chaf Amid Beis.
I learned from the Mishnah. From the Mishnah.
Right.
The oven breaks the wall, or breaks
the ceiling. Right. It blackens the ceiling until it erodes it. And the Mishnah sets up a shira kaka of Dalid Amos. What happens if he was marking his oven for Amos, and nevertheless, the fire and the heat damaged the Elyon's ceiling, the Elyon's floor? In Hizik, says the Mishnah, this is the Chachamim of Reb Shimon, Mishali Masha Hizik. So here's a case where you fulfilled Yehovah's Hakoka, there's no further Hakoka beyond Dalet Amos, and yet you pay Nezikin. So if we apply that kind of conceptual framework to Chavav, in the case of Raksa, what we have in the Tosfos Rid's frame of reference is a case in which you're Chayav Alts Eish, we have a full-fledged Mazik. Anything that I told you, says the Tosfos Rid in the past, that it's not Eish because you only did this and the Ruach did that, that's Hevel. Not Hevel in the sense of Harkok and Nezikin. It's meaningless. This is Eish. But nevertheless, you have no Chiyuv Harkok according to Ravina, because it's not what? Let's read the language of Ravina.
It's not
Giyu Dile. Ki Amri Yamodu Rav Yossi de Giyu Dile. Hanimili de Ka'azel mi Koko. That's called Giyu Dile.
A Chiyuv is Chiyuv. It's Chiyuv. Like, it doesn't matter how. Okay, so it's not Giyu Dile. That's nice. But you're still going to be Chayav for Nezikin. A Chayav for Nezikin should equal Harkok and Nezikin.
So we can go two ways now. We could plow through the text of the Tosfot, or I can give you like a heads up, kind of a preview of coming attractions.
Okay.
I'll give you the preview, okay? Because I want you to be aware of what's coming around the bend. According to the Tosfos Rid, if you have Eish, but without Giri Delay, then Rabbi Yossi will shift the Chiyuv Harchaka from the Mazik over to the Nizak.
Because it's kind of out of the Mazik's hands, or what?
Not exactly, but because the Nizak should be aware of what's going on. So let's take, for example, the following scenario. I light a fire in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, inside, I'm making my celebration for Yom HaTzmaut, in the middle of a public area, and I light a bonfire. what do people around me, according to Rav Yossi, have to do now since they see my bonfire?
They might have to watch out for this.
Correct, they have to watch out. And therefore, the chiyuv of age is suspended. I hate to say it's frozen because I don't want to freeze an age. Anybody know in physics if you can freeze? I don't know if you can. Anyway, so but let's suspend the age for a
minute.
Yeah. It'd be cool if you could freeze a fire. You know? Right, we're going to freeze.
That's a bar.
I can't.
Barad.
Barad, it's called?
Barad, like hail.
Barad, the day's raised out.
Hail is there.
Yeah, it's frozen fire.
It's fire.
Was that miraculous or is that?
Yeah, it's fire inside the
house. Right, okay. But you admit that it's hard to do that, you know, I'll be there at that. I think in the freezing process, somehow the fire would be extinguished. But what I'm saying is that this fire is frozen as far as Chiv Mazik is concerned. Why? Because the Nizek should have protected himself.
I don't understand that, because you're basically saying, or whoever the Tosfos Rish is basically
saying. I'm going to have to convince you that's what he's saying. Right. Like, yeah.
I mean, Tosfos Rish is basically saying that other people are more responsible for your fire than you are. I mean, why shouldn't you be more responsible for your fire?
So let me give you he doesn't quote the riff, but there's a famous riff in Bava Kamma that Shar is Potter Rishus Arab, for shame and this, that. So nobody.
Rishus Arabim?
Yeah, Rishus Arabim. Because if I'm going to my Shar, Rishus Arabim, and you're carrying your tomatoes in a bag, and my Shar starts eating. Again, Ladav Dakha Shar. I don't know if Shar eats tomatoes or whatever. But the point is, if I'm taking my animal into Rishus Arabim, and you're taking your tomatoes into Rishus Arabim, the Torah says I'm Potter. I don't have to pay you damages. Now, when you see something like that, you assume it's exeris hakosu, and you stop there. You know, the Torah set it up. Like the Torah says, Boris Potter, you know, you said, Boris Potter for Caleb, you know, Asia's Potter for Tom. You know, there are many, many halachas in Ezekiel that we don't understand. And we stop there, and we say, exeris hakosu, we throw up our hands. Here, the riff, in a very atypical style, offers a svara to why the Torah says that Bersharab Yachai, in this case, where my animal eats up your tomatoes. And he says that the person going into Bersharabim realizes that animals have to travel through the Bersharabim and he's got to protect themselves.
Yeah, but that's, wouldn't you think that only wild animals, not an actual someone's animal?
What do you mean by wild animals? I'm talking about all sorts of animals.
Bersharabim, okay, so you can assume, oh, that an animal that's not somebody's, I can assume that's going to eat my food, so I'll watch it. But someone's, even cow that he has responsibility to watch over his own animal, I shouldn't have to worry about their animal.
But when it comes to the shame, which means the animal eating,
right,
we're not going to ask you, the Baal HaShem, to muzzle your animal. Everybody wants to enjoy the benefits of Rishus HaRabim. We get it, you know, in our society, you don't see that many animals in Rishus HaRabim, but you'll see some. In those days, I'm thinking of my father's little shtetl where he was born back in Tlisa. You know, that's what they did. They went to my father's goat took him to cheder every day. You know, they went, you know, hand in hand, and the goat would stand outside, you know, tied up, waiting for my father to come out of cheder, and he would protect my father as he walked through the streets. Yeah, this is what it was like, because otherwise the goyim could pounce on you. So he had this tough goat. You know. So that's why, according to the Rif, you're potter for such a thing. But what do you see from the riff? Even before we get to this Tosfos riff,
that you have a right to.
You have a right to go where you have to go, do what you have to do, and at some point, even though, again, it's the same mazik one way or the other, but at some point we can shift the responsibility of protecting the mazik from the mazik to the nizak. Because the mazik is doing what he has to do and what's normal. So, for example, when I'm back in my own territory, in my turf, and I'm lighting fires, right? I have to light fires because that's what I have to do. If you're aware of the fact that a ruach will carry my fire, you should be protected. So I don't think that Tosfos Rish is saying something that's totally off, you know, off the charts. It could be feasible. And therefore the Tosfos Rish is going to point out that even though this is clearly, Raksa is clearly age, Ravina still has a point that the B'nai Rish is a rabbin who are aware of the fact that people are doing this kind of thing, you know, it was done publicly, they should be protecting themselves from the psalms that floats around. And if there's no Chiyuv HaRchaka. At the end of the day, if there's no Chiyuv HaRchaka, then Rabbi Yossi will activate a principle of Al HaNizak LaHarchakas Atzmo. And the revolution here is that Al HaNizak LaHarchakas Atzmo could have an impact on Dinei Tashlumei Nezikin. that there's a proviso, there's a condition in the Chiyuv Tashlum Nizikin. The Chiyuv Tashlum Nizikin apply when the Chiyuv Shmir is on the Mazik. Once we have the right to transfer the Chiyuv Shmir from the Mazik's head to the Nizak's head, then the whole Chiyuv Tashlum is blown out of the water. Let's see it inside. And now I'm just giving you a preview of counting attractions because it's going to totally change the pshat now. Sugi. He says the following: Devade ki esh gomaru. It should be about the fifth line down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th line down in this paragraph. V'lo kashim nidi, and I have no problem understanding Ravina and the attack against Ravina. And what's Ravina's position? The kevan de sover Rabbi Yosi v'al anizak lahaftikas atzmo. If there's due reason to demand and expect of the nizak that he should be marking himself, im yasa eish b'shalo. So where's the mazik? You know, the guy who's beating this flax. Where is he doing it? What does it mean b'shalo? No property. He has a right to do that. He can't impinge on what he does in his property. El what? You can ask, well, maybe you should be protecting him. So Rabbi Yossi says, no. This is a phenomenal chiddush of Rabbi Yossi, that no, you don't have to be protecting it. Who has to be protecting it? The nizak has to be.
Wait, if I'm on my own property...
If you're in your own property and you are beating away the flax, and that's what you do, and you sell flax on the market, or you use the flax to make linen and weave garments, and you're manufacturing, whatever it is, this is your private property. You're not doing anything unusual. Anybody would do such a thing. Hello, what? When you hit and beat the flax, the solus is flying in all directions. Says Rabbi Yossi, in such a case, Hanizak, do you see where it's underlined? Vanizak Omad Bitsido. That's very important. Right, the Nizak is standing there next door, so to speak. I would say within Dalai Lama's. That's just a fiction. Don't take me literally on that. But he's in close proximity to the Nizak. Vira also. He sees the guy beating his flax. That's what a person does. He beats his flax. Vahuzak minenu. So you're going to tell me, well, it's H, and it is H, says the Tosis Rid. Ein hamadlikah. This is Rabbi Yossi's chiddush. Why? Ki omer lo. Because the madlik, in this case, the one who's beating the flax, has right to turn to those who are sitting and watching them. You know, they're having a good time. You know, they're sitting there and applauding them. That's like a became a spectacle. Hoya lecha laharkik es atzmacha. Shani osa v'tok shali. I'm allowed to do what? Whatever I want, even if it means creating an age. Find a way, you know, get yourself one of these, what do they call those things that are fireproof? You know, they like these capes that they have. It's made out of a certain metallic. You know, buy yourself one of these flat, you know, inflammable, you know, suits, you know, that they wear on the moon. You know what I'm saying? And then that's your problem.
I mean, that's not true by other ish, is it?
It's not.
Well, it depends. It depends. Again, the classical case of Aishas, Avno Sakina Maso, where did it fly at? You know, somebody puts up an Evan on his dog, and I'm walking with just a robin, and the Evan gets carried down by the wind and bangs me over the head. You know, it's on the third story coming down.
Depends on what's happened when. Like,
no, I'm saying, let's say you get hit, as shown by an Evan, that's coming down from somebody's, you know, you're walking up Fifth Avenue, you know, in Manhattan, and somebody left who knows what gigantic thing that gets pushed over and it falls in front of you and you get damaged. So can I expect you, Noam, to have protected yourself against that? You're one of 50 million people walking up Fifth Avenue. You ever see a busy street in New York? It's like you can barely walk in the streets of New York. It's so busy. So what am I supposed to do? Walk through the streets with a big umbrella? You know, that could, you know, that you can't expect me to do. That's your classical age. But what happens if you have the following two conditions? Number one, the guy who's lighting the fire is doing it where? In his rishus, in betok shalom. Number two, and he's not doing anything unusual. I mean, he's making a livelihood in his own backyard. That's what he does. Number two, the Nizak is well aware of what's going on. He's not getting hit by a stone that flew out, a meteorite that, you know, fell from the heavens, you know, when two comets collided up in space. That's not what happened. So if you have A and B, despite the fact that there's age, we activate Rabbi Yossi's principle of Allah Nizak Lahakha Kasatsma.
I think we mentioned this Correct me if I'm wrong. I think we mentioned this in Shir a while ago about if the Nizak knows that the Malik is coming, then he has to be Marhik. And I remember I had like major problems with it then also. Because like then it's like, okay, if I go to Bentley and I say, okay, I'm going to punch you in the face in 5 seconds, and then I punch him, then you're going to say that I mean putter because he should have.
No, but what right do you have to punch him in the face? And that's here, again, you know, keep in mind the halacha wants to juggle the rights of the so-called mazik to create an eish. Again, we're not talking about a destructive eish. You know, we're talking about hitting a guy in the nose. You know, we're talking about something that's normally done.
Right.
It's a tashmish. You know, we've often spoke about tashmish achatzer. You remember this?
Yeah.
A person is allowed to maximize and exploit his character for his benefit. He's in the manufacturing business. He's beating his flats. Everybody sees it. It's under the, you know, the clear day. And all you have to do is be marking yourself, you know, walk around a little bit. Okay, so it's a nuisance. You know, instead of walking right there up to you, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to have to move back a couple of feet. But says Rav Yossi, we have a right to demand of the Nizak, insofar as the Mazik is doing the Tosh Shalom, that he be marking himself. Again, if he gets hit by something from nowhere, that's Eish. Rav Yossi's not ripping out the Parsha of Eish from the Torah. He recognizes, acknowledges the Parsha of Eish.
I mean, but this is a total exception. The guy has to know that he's doing it. And the other guy...
So talk to your friend Yehuda and convince him. I'm on your side in this. But in this case, you know, we got some opposition here, some friction. By the way, you know, if it's any consolation to you, the Chachamim don't accept Rabbi Yossi. According to Chachamim, you've got a mazik, period. So pasuk. You have to market yourself. There's no such thing as Alaniza Klaharkis. You've got a mazik, you're going to suffer all the repercussions. It was Rabbi Yossi, and I know you have some tension here in accepting Rabbi Yossi, who said, look, let's grant a person the rights, and the Zikin, we can pot to someone when the Chi of Shmir can be shifted from the Mazik to the Nitzak. I give you as a precedent the Rif, who's talking about an animal eating up someone's fruits in Rishus HaRabim, and we say to the Nizak, the owner of the fruits, you nincompoop, you're walking around with fruits in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, what's going to happen? Yeah, do you ever see these people, you know, they sell hot dogs. So if you sell hot dogs on a high stand, you know, so the dogs are not going to get to it. Well, could you imagine a guy sets up a stand in the middle of, I don't know where, you know, Broadway and 42nd Street, right? He sets up a little dinky stand and he's cooking hot dogs there. And the dogs are just, you know, they're salivating. They're like Pavlov's dog, you know, waiting to eat those hot dogs. So what are you going to tell them? That your dog is high from Shum Shem? No, by the way, it could be that I can sue him for something called hana. That's not damages. In other words, if he saved himself supper that night, you know, he had to buy some Gainsburgers, you know, which cost him $5 to feed his dog, and instead his dog had a blast, you know, festive meal on my hot dog. That's a different story. That's called hana. Mashallah fimasha nenis. But I'm talking about shame. Shame is damages, which is the full value of these hot dogs. How can I charge you for that? After all, you put them there in the middle of Shus Rabin. What are you doing over here? So I'm just saying that sometimes a person has to be marking himself from an obvious mazik when that mazik has a right to be there. See, we have an automatic response. As soon as we hear the word mazik, we go ballistic. You know, mazik, you're no good. You know, you should be taught and fed and you should pay and sue damages. But, you know, let's leave that out, because maybe we're making a mistake about that. Rabbi Yossi says there is such a thing as a mazik, where we shift the balance of Shmira onto the Nizak. Many conditions have to be met and fulfilled in order to activate such a principle, but ala Nizak l'hafikas atzmo. Comes along the Tosus written, he says, all we're racking our brains to figure out why rocks is not aish, and it's libo v'lipsa ruah. Forget all that. Adarabba. Ruach is the essence of what Eish is all about. Raksa is a classical case of Eish. But it's Eish minus what? Minus Giri Dilei. And that's where Rav Yossi comes into the picture. And that was Ravina's, that was the cornerstone of Ravina's sheet. That there are tzvei dinim here. There's one din of Eish as a mazik, and Enoch Inami Raksa qualifies as Eish as a mazik. But there's another din called Giri Dilei that engenders a chiyuv harchak on the mazik. And we don't even ask the Nizak, oh, Mr. Nizak, why didn't you do this? And didn't you wear? Why didn't you take precautions? We're not even ask those questions because it's giving delay. Once it's giving delay, then it comes back to your model where you came along and bopped him over the head. Like, that's giving delay, mahavish. Then we don't raise questions about the Nizak. Should he have done this? Should he have, you know, oh, he sees you and he knows you're a bully. Right? So he should have ran the other way. No, we don't have a... we stand up for our rights, right? We're the Jewish Defense League. We're not going to run away. And if you bop him over, you're going to pay damage through the nose. You're going to pay chavola. That's five different categories. Let's see if the text of the Tosfos read bears me out. He says the following. You see where I underline Vanizak Amad Bitsino Veroso, etc., etc. He says, Ach in Ha'esh Choshev Chitzov. But that's only Esh without what? Without Giri Bilei. But what happens if I upgrade Esh?
What's Chitzov?
Okay, Chitzov means his arrows.
Okay.
You know, so if I put an Evan on top of the roof and the wind carries it, I'm chayav for such a thing. But don't call that chitzov. You know, he didn't take the Evan and throw it on the guy. After the Esh Choshev Chitzov, Modi Rav Yossi, the Alamazik Laharchikas Atzma. Why? Because then it becomes what? Giri Dilei. Umishim Desover Avina. So until now, he's presenting the sheet of Mav Rav Ashi. Mav Rav Ashi would say that in Rav Yossi's frame of reference, if we can prove that this is Isha Mishum Chitzov, then we can generate a Chiyuv Harchaka, and therefore we absolve the Nizak of his responsibility to protect himself, but rather we thrust all the onus, the burden of Harchaka onto the Mazik, because it's what? It's Isha Mishum Chitzov. That's the Sheet of Mabra Vashi. So why does Ravina say, no, there's no Chiyuv Harchaka? Umishum Desov Ravina She'ena Eish Chitzov Mamish. Yeah, it's Chitzov, but not Mamish. Once the Ruach comes in and plays a major role, you've got Chitzov, like in the case of Avno Sakino Masov Rosh Hagag, but you don't have Giri Dilei. It's not Chitzov Mash. So, you know, there are two dargas here in Chitzov. You know, there's low flame, low profile Chitzov, which is bad enough, because you'll pay for damages in such a case. But then we're going to ask, well, could the Nizak have protected? And then Rav Yossi will say, if it's low grade Chitzov, then why wasn't the Nizak, who was aware of this all, why didn't he take precautions and walk around? And then it's high-grade chitzov. What's high-grade chitzov? You know, we turn the flame up. That's called Giri Dilei. That's chitzov mamish. Mamish means like he shot an arrow. It's completely his car. If that be the case, then Ravina would admit that Rav Yossi would require a chok. And once you require a chokka, you know, you can't say to the Nizak, why weren't you marking this answer? So the Chiyuv HaChok of Rav Yossi, according to Ravina, equals Giri Dilei, which means equals Chitzov Mamish. Once it's Chitzov Mamish, you're literally hitting the guy with an arrow that you're shooting. Forget about all of these Chitzov. It's the Mazik who's got to be Mamish. That's called Giri Dilei.
I think you mentioned this, but I missed it. So if I don't know that, like I'm walking in and I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, is that considered Giri Dilei? Like, it's not really, it's not any more Giri Dilei than if
we don't expect you to know.
No, but of course, so you have to.
Oh, wait a minute. Again,
the
issue of Giri Dilei Yehud has nothing to do with the Nizak.
Right.
Meaning, we're not going to ask any, we don't invite the Nizak unless we have what? Isho Mishum Chitzov. Then, right, we ask Nizak. You know, Ra, Yochel Lishmar Zatzmo, blah, 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 right? And that's where Rav Yossi shifts the Chiyuv HaChokom to the Nizak. That's Roman numeral number one. And then we have Chitzov Mamish.
Wait, but back on
right? If there's any Lubavitcher here in the audience, what does Mamish stand for?
Really?
Menachem Mendel Shneis, right. So Chitzov Mamish, which is what? That's the same as Giri Dilei. Correct? What happens if it's Chitzov Mamish? Do we ask this question, well, the Nizak you saw, you knew, you could have protected? No, all that goes down by the wayside. Once it's Giri Dilei, you're shooting an arrow, then you have the Chiyuv HaChokho, Al Mazik La'akvis Asfo, that's the cornerstone of Rav Yossi. What now becomes the machlokes between Mar Bar Rav Ashi and Ravina about the case of Raksa? What? Who can tell me what Mar Rav Ashi holds and who can tell me what Ravina holds? Don't all answer at once because I can't hear so many voices. Trey Coley, Lomish Tamoy.
Again, how does my Rav Ashi classify Ratzon?
He would say that
it's what? It's Chitzo Mamish. It's a Giri delay. So Ratzon, according to my Rav Ashi, equals Giri delay. And Ravina would hold that Ratzon does not equal Giri delay. Clear?
Yeah.
So the whole issue is how to define Ratzon. Is it called Giri delay? Is it not? Whereas Ravina, from his perspective, would say that since the Ruach in Rax is playing such a major role, it could be Isho Mishum Chitzo, but it's not Mamish, and if it's not Giri delay, let's ask the Nizak to be Machik himself. That's the Raxo scenario according to Ravina. And Rav Ashi is going to turn around and say, no, this is Giri delay. And we're not going to ask the Nizak to be Machik. So now we have to get into the analysis of, well, is Raksa Giri delay or is it not Giri delay? And that's going to be the whole machlokas now, according to Tosafot, between Mar Rav Ashi and Ravina. Now, what will Mar Rav Ashi invoke in order to prove that the Ruach sets up a Giri delay situation? What will he quote? What's going to be his proof text? His model? Shabbos. Melech Hazara. You can't talk about calling it his action. You might have to say that he did the mice in the cocoa, otherwise he can't be high on Shabbos for it. So it's crystal clear now that Mar Rav Ashi has a leg to stand on by proving from Melech Hazara that the Ruach can be integrated into your mice to make it your mice in the fullest sense, and therefore it's giving me leg. So I'm Mazik Lahachik Hazatzma. And that was the objection of Mar Rav Ashi against Ravina. Ravina, why do you let these guys off the hook? And they're beating away at their flax. The rocks is flying in all directions. Oh, you're going to tell me the wind. Zeku to come out to you. Well, what about Melech Hazara? And truth be told, even if you accept Rav Ashi, that's the Tati, who says in the Sefer Bava Kama that you can't prove anything from Shabbos, because Shabbos has a special principle called what? Nevertheless, I can still derive one thing, that this is considered your Maisa. That I don't need Melech Machsheves for. The Chiddush of Melech Machsheves is to take this Maisa that the halacha views as your Maisa, utilizing the Ruach, and make it into a Chiyuv Shabbos. That I can't extrapolate from Shabbos to Kol Torah Kula because there's a special halacha of Melech Machsheves. But what I could derive from Shabbos is that the Torah views this as your Maisa. You know, that's in a sense a secular principle, a premise that operates in all of Shas. It's not limited to Melech Shabbos. You want to know if it's Chayim and Shabbos, that's already Melech Machsheves. But if you want to know if it's considered as Maisa, do we integrate the Ruach as if he did the action and the Torah recognizes that as Torah's a Maisa? Then for sure I can derive that from Shabbos. Comes over Ravina, and Ravina says, you know what? Shabbos is going to teach you nothing about Nezikin, not even to define the Maisa. Because Melech Machsheves from Ravina's perspective means that the Torah in Shabbos looks at the result, looks at the final accomplishment. Did you change the universe? Did you take a cheft and change it? You made a Zriya, a Zoreh in these kernels. The kernels are absolutely different. So from that perspective, that's considered a Maisa because the Torah says we're going to define your Maisa Zriya from the perspective of the final result. It's like we're going to move backwards. It's a retrospective kind of definition of your Maisa. That only applies to Melech Machsheves, but not in Kol Torah Kula. So therefore, Ravina says you have no proof text whatsoever from Shabbos. And now, the Gemara hits Ravina with another kasha, another blow. And I don't know if it's my Rav Ashi or if it's somebody else. And what's that?
Gets.
And what has we seen? Gets. Now we're talking not about Shabbos, but what? The Zikin. And yet the Torah considers in the case of, the Halacha considers in the case of Getz, your Maisa based on Ruach. And such a Maisa that you're Chayv in the Zikin, it must be that it's Isho Mishum Chitz of Mamish, it's Giri Delay, and let's just simply apply that to the case of what? Of Rax. And at that point, Ravina is forced to introduce a whole new variable. When Bamed Varmamur could we say Isho Mishum Chitz of Mamish, and it's like Giri Delay, and you're shooting arrows, and Alamaz Barakasas, so that's only what? Michale, when he pre-calculates the Ruach and its power as an agent to aid him in his achieving his goal. But if he's not interested in sending Raksa, You could market this, you know. The Raksa shoots, you know, we'll sell it, the next Purim Chagig, we'll sell, you know, get two bags for the price of one. The Raksa shoots, you know, you could imagine for the next time you do this flaxing, please save me the Raksa because I want to sell it on the market here at Landon College on Purim. So what we have is these Raksa shootings, right? You're shooting at that Raksa. And right? And according to Ravina, when you shoot out the Raksa, you're not interested in doing so. Do you have any interest? Again, if this guy's a no good, you want, you know, this is a time to hit him with Raksa. You just rock him up with the Raksa. You know, then I would say it's Zichalet. But if he's not using in a pre-calculated way the Ruach in order to shoot those Raksa shoots, it just happens, then it's not Nichle. You can't consider it Giri Dile. Giri Dile, says Ravina, requires Nichle. He pulls the bow back in the arrow and it shoots the arrow because that's exactly what he wants. He's William Tell II. And he wants to get that apple right down the middle. That's called Nichle. Then you can call it Giri Dile. Then we'll apply Rav Yosef's principle, Masik Lehakrit Disakma. But in Raksa, it's not Nichle. And therefore, if it's not Nichole, it's not Giri Dile. And if it's not Giri Dile, then it may be H, and it may even be Chitzav, but it's not going to be a Chiv HaChaka that's incumbent upon the Mazik. And that's what I think, if you take a look at the end of the first paragraph in the Tosus Rid, I underlined it, he says, Ach im ha'esh chashuv Chitzav, Modi Rabbi Yossi shala Mazik laharkis atzmo. And this is going to be the shita of Marbar Avashi. But Mishum de Savra Avina She'ena Eish Chitzav Mamish, you can't upgrade it from Chitzav to Chitzav of Girei, is therefore Hayamatir Lahani de Nefitze Kisna. And why? Because Ravina holds Eino Eish Chitzav Mamish Mnesha Ruach Molicha. Ruach Molicha. Shal Ezo Eish Hayamachayev Rabbi Yossi. When does Rabbi Yossi say that for Eish Yochayev, Kigon Shehidlik Besok Shalom V'yotze V'yizika V'gdisha Shal Chaver Shalom Hoya Hanizak Shom Sheyuchal Lishmor L'Harach Gesatzmo. Now again, falling back to the classical case of Eish, in the classical case of Eish, Rabbi Yossi doesn't deny that Yochayev, and the Nizak in this case couldn't have done anything. Right? And we're going to see this in Avnos Hakinu Masol. Shelo haya nizak shom. He's not there. Sheyuchal lishmo laharchik zatz. When yochal laharchik kol agodish. You know, imagine picking up a whole godish. That's a whole haystack. You know, they have these large bundles and barrel, you know, barrel full of haystack. V'chein be'avnos sakinim asos shenich brokav noflu ruch mitzu v'zikim derech achlichos and they shall lo rolo some over yirushis ram sheyizor behem. I'm walking down the street on a busy day, and now all of a sudden I get hit by a ruach, by an eben that falls down. In all those cases, even though it's not giri delay, nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi agrees you pay for eish because there's no such din here as hala nizak l'achik tzatz. We can't transfer the chiyuv shmirah onto nizak. He didn't know anything about it. Aval im haya gago shel ruven samach l'chatzero shel shimon. The sum ruven chafotz of begago. So Ruven sets up his objects on the rooftop in such a way that the ruach is going to push it down. Shimon Caleb bechatzero, and down below Shimon's got his kelim. Eino yochel lomer lo. Shimon can't turn to Reuven and said, "Pnei lecha chafatzecha." Well, what right do you have to use your gag as storage? You don't have such a right because in this case, I got my kelim on the bottom. Yeah, but the guy on top is going to say, Reuven's going to say to Shimon, "You move your cave." So we got this fight over here. You know, we in my house in Harnof, I live in what's called a kvish pnimi. So the kvish pnimi is like this: you don't park on the street; you park in front of your house because the street goes in. You know, from let's say number 2 shuls, and actually from number 6 shuls, and it goes all the way into number 16, which is our house. So what do? You go into this kvish pnimi, this inikin. So what happens? All the time this happens. You're pulling out from your car in front, and you have to go out here, and they have to go in here, so you get stuck in the middle, right? I think I once saw this in a Dr. Seuss book. So this guy gets out of his car and says, "You move the car," and the other guy gets out and says, "You move the car." Right? So that's exactly what's going on here. You're on the bottom of your chotzer, Mr. Shimon, and you're putting your kelim there. I'm on top, I'm Mr. Reuven, and I'm putting my chotzer up on top. So we know that we're due for damages here. Something bad is going to happen because the Ruch Mitzuy is going to cause a collision. So you turn to me and say, get your chafotzim out of the roof. And I turn to you and say, why? I want to, but that's my storage. You get your kelim and move them out of your chutz. And there we are, head against head, locked in, gosh for gosh, as we say, and we're battling it out. So who has to budge at the end of the day? In such a case, according to Rabbi Yossi, since it's not giri delay, and since it's not chitz of mamish, it's the ruach that's going to carry the chafotzim down, Reuben has a right to force Shimon to move his kelim. Shimon can't force Reuven and say, "Pnei l'chol chafatzech mi'al agav shelo yapilim beruach v'yishbu es kelai." Mivnei shalaniz l'tarach lezat. So that's the sheet of whom? Of Rabbi Yossi. V'achinami hani d'nefitzi kisna. Because again, according to Ravina, we classify kisna and raksa as a classical case of isha mishum chitzov, not the mamish case, not the upgraded giri delay case, but a classical case of what? Of Isha Mishum Chitzov. And where is he doing this nefitza? Where is he banging away at his flax? B'tok shalahem ayam enachzim, in his own backyard. V'omer b'shus ha-rabim roim also. V'yecholim la'achik esatzmon. Just make a little detour. Fella. Get a little exercise. Little scarp seers. Is therefore, is yecholim la'achik esatzal yavr somuch lehem. Mishum haki hita lehem ravina l'napigs. Yeah. That's a fascinating question. What would be if it's a public kind of thing, but he was wearing blinders or something like that, and he didn't know? You know, do we say that, look, the mazik here, the menapeitz, had every reason to assume that anybody walking in Rosh Hashanah would see? He didn't guess that, you know, it was so unusual and unpredictable that somebody would come by with blinders on.
You can't bring a rat for something.
What's that called? You know, a rule that you want to go and invoke a certain universal principle here?
He's walking around in blinders. Obviously, it's not only. I don't have to be worried about walking around in blinders. I don't have to be worried about it. You don't have to be worried about people walking around in blinders. Why would that make sense?
No, but I'm asking.
It's a guess.
This is Noam's question. Let me try to defend you here, okay? I can think I do a better job.
It's not my fault, that's your fault.
Well, let's not get all out on the cow here, you know what I'm saying?
We're going to get fired here.
We're going to have a Raksa fight here in a minute. I don't know what's going on.
Why should I have to work?
No, the question here is, Danny, here's the issue, and this is what Noam is saying. Which way do we start and which way do we end? Are we starting with the mazik, the one who's doing this niputz in his backyard, and we're saying to him, you know what, buddy, you're doing what you have to do. Anybody in Rosh Sarabim, that's their headache. They can see it, they can know it, they can find out about it. Or do we go the other way around? Do we start with the B'nai Rosh Sarabim, meaning the Nizak, and do we say, look, Mr. Nizak, you should have been watching yourself. But I had blinders on. I didn't even have a clue the guy was doing niputz. See, those are the two ways you can go. So do we start with guilty until proven innocent, or do we start with innocent to prove guilty? Who do we turn to first and raise a finger of warning? Do we look at the mazik and say, look, Mr. Mazik, you better clarify that there's no one out there who's blinded. What about a different hour during the day? Supposing it's getting a little bit dark. You know, it's a winter, early winter day, and then, you know, the sun is. At some point, you know, it gets to twilight. You know, that's what they say. I remember when I took driving. What was it called? They teach how to drive. What they call driving instructions. Anyway. Yeah, so the first thing they tell you is Bein HaShmashos, they don't use that term. But what they tell you is after sunset, that's the most dangerous time. That statistically there are more accidents that take place at that slice of time than at any other time during the day.
Yeah.
Now you would think at night is more dangerous. No, at night people know, they use the lights, they're careful. But during that time where it's a little bit light, but it's ambiguous, you know, things are...
Well, in that case a little different than this, because in that case you have to be worried about everyone. Whereas the case that they're talking about is that there's one individual person.
Like, he has to worry about everyone. Right. So that one person that didn't turn on.
What do you say?
He has to worry about everyone.
Does this guy have to worry about the
claw,
or does he have to...
Or the prat, right. Is it did in the prat or did in the claw, right? So he says over here in the next paragraph, he says, V'atkefei marbravashi. Oh, so what's marbravashi attacking him? And he says, Mizore v'ruach mesayato. The Choshev Maisel in Yin Shabbos. Right? You're considered the Zora. And if you're the Zora, you're Chaya for that. It's Hochinami Giri Dileihu. I underlined it, because again, the whole issue is whether rocks is considered Yiridu, it's not considered Yiridu. Everybody agrees it's Eish. That was never an issue. Everybody agrees Eish HaMishum Chitzav. That's not an issue. But we need Chitzav Mach. We have to upgrade Chitzav to a case which would completely absolve the Nizak from any Chiv Shmir to protect himself, because it's Yiridu. And in order to give you delay, we need to be considered your Maisa. And the answer is consider your Maisa, says my Rav Ashi. And I know it, because I know it from Zora. Yeah, but wait a minute. Who are you trying to fool? Zora can't prove a thing. The Afal Gav, the Perikonis, says the Aminon. We're going to quote the Tati now on the next page. Turn to the other side of the page. Sorry, I'm going to Malaba. Vilib Soruach, and Yesh Vilib Buyo, Kidei Labosa, Chavim Lab, Potvach, Shinamai. Why is he Potvach? Because Zora, the Ruach Misayato. Why don't we use Zora as a paradigm to derive that Yechayev for the action of the Ruach? So why is that leave of a lips of Ruach in the safest part? Uparik Rav Ashi. That's only as far as Shabbos is concerned. But here it's only Grover B'Alma, Grover Nizik in his Potur. No. So why didn't Marb Rav Ashi quote his father and realize that his question is an invalid question? Because you cannot use Shabbos as your paradigm for the Zikin Lodam Yahi Dahacha. We're almost finished, guys. Hang in there for another few minutes. I know I'm pushing it a little, but Abal Hacha Grub of Yamahi Ugram Lodam Yahi Dahacha. He's going to make peace here. The Tosafot wants to make peace between the father and the son. Not the third member, just the father and the son. And that is that my Rav Ashi can agree to with his father Rav Ashi, and you cannot derive conclusions from Shabbos to Nezikin. Hasam came to Lo Haisaha Eish Meluba. You want to derive from Shabbos that in the process of creating the Mazik, creating the Shalheves, we can utilize the Ruach, and that's considered your Maisa. That we have no right to do. That's already a Shabbos halacha. That's over the ridge, over the ledge. Adayin Lo Yikra Eish can appreciate Hasam. Chaval De'avdi writes, apparently we're missing some lines over here. Shall you kare a shalom with chila gachelis al shalheves? Kevin shalheves lo bo mikocho el mikocho haruach. This is a repeat of Tosus this far. Afal pishu ozar leruach grama chashiva. If it was the Torah shaliva, that's only a Shabbos halom. The akrechein bo haruach olichasa. Okay, you have to create the ash yourself, and then the ruach comes. That's the malacha of. That's the chiyuv of the mazik of ash. What about Raksa? Aval hacha haraksa hi amazekis. Ooh, that's interesting. How would you classify Raksa? Is it like liba b'libso ruach, where I need the help of the ruach to create the shalheves? Or did I, through my act of beating the flax, create the shalheves, meaning the mazekis, which is called the Raksa? So what does he say?
He said,
Avahocha raksa hi amazekes v'haraksa hu motzio min apishton v'lo aruach. It's not like the case of Weaver Wipso Ruach. Fascinating chiddush of the Tosfos. Read, I never would have said this in a million years. He's saying that the creation of a mazik, the creation of the age, was mine, meaning the beater of the flax, and not the ruach. Because his act of beating the flax is motzia es haraksa v'lo aruach. The kevan shebekocho motzi haraksa afal pisha ruach molicha lehevi, and this we could derive from Shabbos Blechus Zohar, and that's the kash of Rav Ashi, lehevi ki'ilu, please focus on the ki'ilu holicha hu v'yechoshev gire. Once it's giri ala mazik lahakvisatzma. Wow. You get the flow of it after a while. It begins to click. In the next paragraph, which we don't have time to do, the Tosfos Reed defends Ravina, and he says that although Ravina agrees, he's on board, that isha mishum chitzav, and he holds a Rav Yochanan, yichad mishum odom amazik. Nevertheless, you still apply the principle of Yossi ala nizik lahakvisatzma in those cases where he's doing it in his backyard, and we can expect and anticipate that the nizak should protect himself. Where does Rav Yossi agree that you're chayiv and you pay damages for Eish even though the Nizak could have easily protected himself? That's in the case of Giri Dilei. That's in the case where you were molich the Eish. If you yourself, the human agency, was molich the Eish, that's called Giri Dilei. And once Giri Dilei kicks in, then absolute, unconditional, amazik lach kisatzmo, he'll pay the damages. We don't even raise the question of Nisak. We don't even invite him into Bezdin to ask him, well, could you have, did you have, did you know, did you not know? And the issue is, and that's in the paragraph of Svira, the issue here that lies between Barbara Avashi and Ravina is how to classify Raksa. Barbara Avashi assumes that Raksa is considered Giri Delay, even though it's Ruch Masayato. He's got two proofs to support that position. Number one, Zoret and Shabbos. Number two, Getz. And basically, Ravina is going to argue, and with one answer, he's going to deflect both questions by saying that this is not Giri Delay. That whereas Zoreh v'ruach Masayatu, whereas Getz v'ruach Masayatu, in both of those cases, he can be considered the Moloch, and it's Giri Delay because of the Ruach that was set up, so to speak, to help him, to aid him. This was all well prepared, well arranged, and calculated. Then we consider Yom Maisa, not so in the case of Raksa. And Raksa wasn't calculated, he didn't set it up that way, he didn't want to benefit from it, and it's not Nichole. If it's not Nichole, it's not Giri Delay. So basically, Marav Rav Ashi has only one condition for Giri Delay. All he needs is that you, through your agency, through your koch, will molech the Eish. Whereas Ravina adds another condition to set up Giri Delay. It's not enough that you are molech the Eish, you are molech the Eish with the Ruach in a deliberate manner. It was well calculated, it was Nichole. What I'd ask you to do, if you have the chance, is to finish this up on your own, you know, just to read it through and see if my presentation really is reflected in the text. You know, it's not just Berzon, but it's a Tosfos reading. Okay, then, so for tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, we'll have a shiur on a totally different topic. Okay? Next week, you'll let me know, you know, what your schedule is. I know the finals, and I know the papers, and so forth and so on. So you have to tell me what...